Fear is an incredible motivator in our lives. It can shut us down or it can compel us to action. It can mean that we are to gather our thoughts in a moment of calm and jump into the fray of life. I've written in a couple different places that I like to hike. Always have. When you grow up on a farm and you have a 500-acre playground, you walk about a bit. You have fun. You go down to the ditch banks and you use netting that your mom made. It was a tool, but actually we just kind of put it around hangers, and we would use those as fishing nets to get. We called them suckers, little fishes, out of the ditch bank. We hiked. And then when I went away to school, I was told to be cool, you have to have a pair of good hiking boots. Anybody have a good pair of hiking boots when you were in college? I mean, you had to have them, right? I mean, that was, expensive. Yes. I mean, I think I paid all of $68 back in, a year. But I had them. I still have them. They're still good. They still fit. They're wonderful. Vibram soles to keep you steady on your feet. I shared this love of hiking with my wife. And she's not built for hiking. Not like short little stout guys like myself. But I did talk her into hiking with me on our honeymoon. 3 days in the White Mountains of New Hampshire and Maine. And they have a hut system there, and you can hike in, and you have to hike about 8-9 miles per day, so about 8-9 hours per day. And they feed you a meal at night and a meal in the morning, and you hike about. We had many great experiences in those woods. I talked her into a second year, too. We made 6 of the 9 huts in that system in Maine and New Hampshire, Mount Washington being one of them. As we were coming out, we got onto a path that was very, very long, much longer than what we had thought it was going to be, almost endless. It just seemed like, wow, we're never going to get out of these woods. And we traveled, and we traveled. And we'd seen critters, rabbits and birds flying out of the bushes as we walked along. And I was about 20, maybe 20 feet in front of Ruth. It was my turn to get whipped in the face by the brushes and the things, or at least to hold them back or whatever, to kind of go through that path. And I heard Ruth said, "Jack," not like one of, "Hey, Jack, I want to talk to you." "Jack?" I'm like, what is that? And so I looked, and she was looking at where I thought a little critter would soon emerge. It wasn't a little critter. It was the knee of a moose that lumbered onto the path. And then probably for a good mile, we followed that moose. It was a young moose all the way out. It was an unexpected joy in an otherwise pretty uneventful 3 days in the woods. The unexpected joy is what I hope that we will come to experience as we enter into the dark wood. And I just have to say I'm impressed and thank Janet Dizell and others. You know who all else has been there, but we have our dark woods on our glass. And so you entered into the dark woods this evening, and the dark woods that are up here. There are gifts in these woods. Gifts that are representative of not maybe the most tragic times in our lives, but times that cause us to doubt. Times that cause us to become introspective of our lives, our relationships, our relationship with God. but to emerge with an unexpected joy, which is Eric Elnes, who wrote the book Gifts of the Dark Wood, is his word for the Holy Spirit, unexpected joy. There are affirmations that we can obtain through that journey. I want to share just a few of them with you to whet your appetite for this journey into the dark wood. These affirmations call us toward a Christian love of God, which includes walking fully in the path of Jesus without denying the legitimacy of other paths that God may provide for others. Another affirmation would be listening for God's word, which comes through daily prayer and meditation and study of the ancient testimonies, which we call scriptures, and attending to God's presence in the activity of our world. Listening. Not just hearing, but listening for God's word. A third affirmation is expressing our love in worship that is sincere and vibrant, as well as artful and scriptural. And then there's affirmation that come under the category of Christian love of neighbor, which includes engaging people authentically, as Jesus did, treating all as creations made in God's very image, regardless of race or gender or sexual orientation or age or physical or mental ability, nationality or economic class. Whatever other boxes we can come up with, but to engage with people where they are, with the struggles that they experience, and allow them to be in relationship with us and the struggles that we experience. A fifth affirmation is standing as Jesus does with the outcast and the oppressed, the denigrated and afflicted, seeking peace and justice with or without the support of others. When do we stand with those who are misfits in our world? When do we support them with a simple presence or a kind word of affirmation? A sixth affirmation I wish to share with you this evening is walking humbly with God, acknowledging our own shortcomings while honestly seeking to understand and call forth the best in others, including those who consider us their enemies. Acknowledging our own shortcomings. Humility involves our relationship with God. It recognizes the nature of that relationship. God as creator, we as created, created in God's image, loved by God. There's the category of Christian love of self. I know that as I already have participated with some of you and others today in terms of the imposition of ashes, I said, I call you to a holy Lent that is marked by self-denial, self-examination, prayer, fasting. But it's also a time to care for yourself as well. It's not all about denying ourselves. It's about caring for ourselves. Basing our lives on the faith that is in Christ, all things are made new, and that we and all people are loved beyond our wildest imaginations for eternity. Caring for our bodies is another affirmation, and insisting on taking time to enjoy the benefits of prayer, reflection, worship, and recreation in addition to work. And finally, an affirmation of acting on the faith that we are born with a meaning and purpose, a vocation and a ministry that serves to strengthen and extend God's realm of love. Those are part of the gifts that I pray we will emerge from these dark woods. Those are the results of receiving these gifts. I think about the disciples in that boat in our scriptures and the fear that they felt. think of another experience when I was, I didn't really mean to hike that night, but I ended up hiking. I was at, actually in Camp Kinnewind. I wish that Megan was here this evening. She'd find this pretty funny. But I got lost in a camp that I had gone to for over 20 years. Ridiculous, really. But that's what happened. It was light. It was one of those nice starry nights and you can see the paths. It's okay. You didn't need a flashlight. So I didn't take one. But then I left the manager's cabin and it had become overcast and dark. And then it started to rain. It was a really bad night for a hike. But it was a hike nonetheless. And I did make it home. But I was fearful and uncomfortable. I was concerned for my well-being. So I invite you to this journey, knowing that it involves discomfort, a certain amount of fear. It involves a darkness that we don't always like to contend with. But I invite you to receive the gifts from that darkness nonetheless. That's the word of God this evening for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.